You're listening to Improvisations. Will Boyd is here in the studio. He's not a Zoom person. He is a real person. Will, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Todd. How are you?
I feel pretty good. It's great to see you again. And it's great you're making a new record, and it's here. It's called Soulful Noise. And it's got you playing on the cover, playing the flute. So to me, it, like when I saw it, I was like, okay, he's mixing it up already.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me what got you in the mood to make another record, and why this kind of record?
I was already in the mood of making something after the last one, the Freedom Soul Jazz. And I didn't have a concept yet until I was talking with Ken Brown, a drummer who's on the record, and he was getting ready to do his recording, and he was bringing in his, putting together his ensemble. And part of his group is the great bassist Daryl Hall, and I've always wanted to have Daryl on one of my recordings. So that was really the spark that got me thinking, hey, if I could just tag my recording session at the end of his, then I can get Daryl Hall, since he's already here, and not have to fly him in to play bass on mine. And I haven't done a full-fledged quartet record anyway, so that all worked out.
You're playing a lot of different instruments. Well, you did on the last one as well. But this one is a quartet. It's pretty much the whole record, right? It's the same exact setup. How was that experience of just having no real changes in the lineup?
That was interesting, because a lot of my favorite albums are like that, you know, where there's Coltrane or Sonny Rollins or like Kenny Garrett or Branford Marsalis, they have their core group. And sometimes they make departures, but I hadn't yet to do, you know, a full quartet album where I'm kind of really carrying a lot of the weight, so to speak. And you know, I like, it would've been interesting if I just play one instrument, but I can't seem to do that. I always have to dive into something else. But no, that was fun. And I'm also teetering with the idea of doing a trio, like the sax trio, because I'm also a big fan of that.
Yeah, me too. I'm a huge fan of all of it, but a lot of my favorite records are really small ensembles, mm-hmm. you know, because there's, I don't know, there's just a lot of space there for people to breathe and really stretch out and see what they can do. Now, having Daryl Hall on this record, now you've got Tabor Gabel and Kenneth Brown, who you've played with plenty before and know quite well. Was it interesting to bring in someone that you hadn't had a lot of experience playing with?
Well, that's the thing. I have had a lot of experience playing with Daryl, even more so than Tabor, because Daryl's played on all of Ken's records, and so have I. And we've done shows together, and Daryl knows my way of playing and my style, like, inside and out.
What did he bring to the session in as an individual?
A lot of experience. It's like having, you know, Donald Brown produce this album. So having Daryl Hall on there was just like when we had Bobby Lyle on the last one. It's like having two Donalds.
How did those two ever give like different opinions or?
No, usually it's like one person gives an opinion, the other one confers, basically says, yeah, I concur. Yep, that's right.
And as you're leading the group and overseeing the project, kind of tell me how a producer works in that situation where you have a definite leader of a group. And it's their vision, but then you have a producer that's got all this amazing experience, especially as a producer.
In this case, it's more like really having those ears of somebody with that experience to say, okay, musically, technically, this is not working, or this is working, or this sounds better, or you know what, something is out of tune. Because you can't hear that necessarily in the studio while you're playing. Especially in the headphones, and there's somebody outside looking in and saying, something's weird going on, stop it, and let's go back and correct some of this stuff, you know.
I've been playing in recordings where, you know, I'm just trying to get my part right, you know, mm-hmm. or just having fun, and I don't even notice that, like, for example, a song has slowed down,
mm-hmm.
and it's so weird, because, like, how can I not notice that?
So one instance in that session, you know, actually, I left off an instrument because I was going to play alto on one of them. But for some reason, I could not get that alto in tune. I was like, well, then I'm just not going to use that horn. And so I just never did.
It's a wide variety of material here. What, you have any favorites or songs that when you finished them, you went, yeah?
They're all my favorite in a sense, but I suppose one that stands out would be the one called Chorus.
Where does that come from?
Actually, it's a lot of this record is like dedication songs to people that are really big contributors or supporters of the Knoxville jazz scene or Knoxville jazz musician, and Karis Kroski is one of those people. And, you know, she definitely helped us out a lot, you know, just being supportive. And we would use her house for like rehearsal sessions and stuff like that. And she would hang out, and she was a big, you know, kind of inspiration for getting things moving in a sense.
At what point do you tell her, hey, we got a song for you and it's going to be on the record? I mean, what if it got cut? You know, you don't tell her too early.
Oh, I knew. Well, I wrote the song first and I was like, wow, I like this song. How am I going to, you know, give it its title? And then I was thinking about Karis, and she was a dancer at one time in Pennsylvania. I think she taught ballet or did a lot of ballet stuff. And because it's a waltz, it kind of has that sort of dance-like vibe. And I was like, wow, Karis is the perfect title. So since I knew that one was going to work, I was like, yeah, I'll let her know.
Well, can we listen to it now?
Sure. Thank you.
You're listening to Improvisations. Will Boyd is here, and we're enjoying listening to his new record. It's called Soulful Noise. That was Chorus. Will Boyd on the flute. Love your playing on that, and I really like the writing on it. Tabor Gabel on the piano, Daryl Hall, Ken Brown on the drums. Freedom Soul Jazz and this one, I think, really showcase you not just as a multi-reed player, but also as a writer.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing about both of those albums is the compositions. Even though I'm trying to do my best to kind of honor that with my playing, you know, saying, hey, I could play a little bit. But yes, the writing is the highlight for both of those albums.
Yeah, and I feel that. And I mean, you've only got a couple of tunes that aren't written by you. You've got a couple of traditional Sparrow and Blue Mitchell piece in there, but the rest are pretty much all you.
Yeah, yeah.
What instrument do you write on? Because you play so many of them.
Oddly enough, I write on piano. You know, at UT, at the jazz program, we all had to take some jazz piano. And when I took lessons with Donald, half of the time I was on piano and, you know, other half was on sax. So I just found it easier just to write the melodies and stuff from piano. And then I figured it out. I said, oh, this sounds like a flute tune, or this is, yeah, I'll do this on sax.
Have you been playing a lot more flute lately? Recut that. Have you been playing a lot more? Man, that's hard to say. Flute lately. I mean, I'm going to try it one more time.
Lately.
I'm going to leave that in. Have you been playing a lot of flute lately?
Yeah, oddly enough, I've been doing a lot more flute playing. Like, even on live shows, it's almost kind of splitting the difference. Not quite as much, but yeah, I do a good bit of flute playing, and that's good. It's helped my overall chops, you know, because it's a different mindset playing flute as opposed to playing something with an actual reed.
I mean, I grew up in the 70s, and it seems like in the 70s in jazz, I heard a lot more flute.
You did. And a lot of my influences, jazz-wise, comes from artists. Not necessarily one particular artist, but kind of, I was telling people, like a label. You know, I was a big fan of, I didn't realize it at the time, but I was a big fan of CTI. You know, and that's kind of where all these kind of groove soul jazz albums were coming from, and a lot of it had flute on it.
Well, this Chorus piece, I just think it's a lovely tune, but I just also love that just sort of that free-flowing vibe of it. It mm-hmm. just has a real airy
yeah.
vibe to it, and Ken and Daryl on it are just great locking in.
And I love Tabor's playing. Well, throughout that whole album, he is really bringing this kind of McCoy Tyner-esque sort of vibe to it, and it's really cool.
Yeah, he seems, and I've listened to the record, it seems like to me he gets what you're going for, but it mm-hmm. sounds like still like him.
Yeah, well, very much like him.
Yeah, how's he coming along? Like, he, you know, you probably remember him when he was just a kid in Knoxville, and now he's sort of
yes.
been around, and what's he like these days as a musician?
I mean, it's really fascinating just to see how his playing has developed over time, just hearing him now as opposed to even 2 years ago or when he was living in New York. He's almost a completely different player. But that's what happens to us when we get older and we take in all these different influences. You know, he left Knoxville. He started in Knoxville, left Knoxville and came back, and he's absorbing all this music, you know, over the time, and he's getting older and he's finding his way, you know, and he's getting his sound together, and it's amazing to see that process.
Yeah, when I saw the lineup for this, I was like, ooh, I can't wait to hear how this turns out. I kind of imagine how it would be, but it's just such a great record. More Dirty Blues, you know, I always go to titles like that, but the more is spelled M-O-O-R-E, so I'm assuming this
another is dedication to another big supporter of the jazz scene here is an accountant, Scott Moore, really, really good guy, and he's a big, 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 big jazz fan of Knoxville jazz musicians.
Thank you. So speaking to you and Kelly, you guys recently packed up and moved to the Tri-Cities.
Yep. Kelly is going to grad school at the ETSU, East Tennessee State University, and she's going to be getting a master's in communication, concentration on storytelling. And I didn't realize how big storytelling is until I moved to Johnson City, and it is huge.
Will Boyd is here. We're listening to his new record, Soulful Noise. I mean, that title is like a great kind of paradox in a sense. I'm catching maybe even a biblical reference in there. Can you tell me how you settle on that title?
That title is coming from the concept of, the concept of wailing, in the sense of somebody feeling extremely emotional and just letting out, maybe it's a happy scream or a sad scream, or maybe it's, you know, somebody had a death or something, and it's just that noise that you make that is coming, you know, guttural.
Well, that kind of clues me in on the artwork on the back.
Artwork on the back. That was a painting done by my younger brother. He's an visual artist. I'm a musician, so.
Wow, I actually love that.
Yeah, my mother was seriously influenced by the arts. She went to a performing arts high school in New York City, and somehow it just kind of trickled down through her genes.
So, Low Country Lullaby, I'm going to take a guess. This is connected to South Carolina somehow.
Yes, it's a dedication in commemoration of the massacre that happened with Emmanuel 9. And when I wrote this piece, I was definitely influenced by that and the music of Yusef Lateef. So I kind of do a nod to him on this one as well.
This is what I really love about your writing is on the last record and on this one. Well, there's the music itself, the compositions, but the concepts and the song titles, they make me think, and they also make me do some research and like, well, what is this? Why haven't I heard about this? Or I want to know more about this. Have you been getting that kind of feedback on the last one and on this one too? Like people going, hey, what's this about? And
More so the last one, because this one is just coming out, so I haven't received a whole lot of feedback just yet. But the last one definitely got a lot of inquiries about August 8th. What is the significance of August 8th? And I'm like, okay, well, let me tell you. You know, when they research it, it's like, I didn't know this. You know, this part of history.
Again, not to bring it back to the radio show, but that's what we do. It's real. That record and this one, too, are really great for sharing those kinds of things in a way that encourages people to kind of look around and to think about what's happening. And also, you know, on Juneteenth, now we've got a song we can play on Juneteenth.
Yeah. And that's part of the big reason that I did the Freedom Soldiers album, because there was a lack of material, you know, written for that aspect of history.
It's such a great record, Soulful Noise. And now that you've explained that title to me, it's really even made me hear it, you know, in a slightly different way. It's kind of interesting the way that the artwork on the back and the titles also can kind of tune your ears in an interesting way. I think that stuff really matters. That's why I encourage people, if they have a leaning towards getting the physical copy, I don't know, Will, there's something about, we were talking about this earlier, it just feels different when I get to hold it and see the extra artwork. I love knowing all the different people that you thank and where it was recorded, all that kind of stuff. You just don't get simply going to a streaming service.
Yeah, that's true.
Where can people grab this CD?
You can go on my website, willboydonsax.com. All the streaming sites will have them, of course. And then you should be able to get it on Amazon. And I'm trying to think. I think that's it for right now. It'll be more places soon. But like I said, this album is just coming out, and I'm still getting the kinks out as far as, you know, for getting the physical, you know, distribution ready.
Yeah. So. Well, Boyd, thanks so much. And the record is Soulful Noise.
Thank you, Todd.